Well, hey, if you have a Bible, you can open it to 2 Timothy 3, but we'll get there in just a minute. Last week, had a great time, or 2 weeks ago, I guess. Not last week. Last week was crazy, man. It was crazy busy. Last week, had a great time with Mikey in Costa Rica. Man, that was full-on fun. I'm not going to not hit a plug is what I'm going to do there. And I told you guys a little bit last week how we saw this volcano. And it was erupting, man. It was kind of cool. Not like in danger. It just kind of does it all the time. It's called Volcano Arenal. I took it for granted. I thought that every time I went there, it did it. Because every time I've been there, it's done it. But then I had it erupted with lava flowing down the side. And but I've had people that went a week after I did. They didn't see it. Someone on my daughter's soccer team my son's soccer team that I coached. They went a couple of weeks before I did. They never saw it. So it was pretty neat that we got to see it. And Mikey got to see it. We got to see all this cool stuff. It was really fun. And one thing about me is I don't know, I'm a little bit directionally challenged. Is anyone else directionally challenged? Like if anyone should have a GPS, I should have a GPS, but I don't have a GPS because when I do have a GPS, I'm usually playing with the buttons so much that I miss my turn and I lose it and it yells at me, so I don't have a GPS. But I should because I don't understand it, how you can get lost so easily. But I do because I guess I'm just thinking about more important things than where the exit is or which way we should turn. We left the volcano. You're in Costa Rica with your son. You want him to have a great time because I want him to go back. And so we're leaving, and before we leave, I asked the guy at the hotel, I get directions to where we're supposed to go. He's like, yeah, it's like 3 hours. It's not bad at all. Here's the way you go. And he takes a map, and he highlights it for me. You ever have him do that? When you rent the car, they highlight the route because they know you're not going to listen to what they say. So they highlight it, and as he highlights it, I'm thinking, this is a piece of cake, man. I've got it. I've so got this. It's no problem. You guys see where this is going, don't you? And so I get in the truck. We rented a truck, me and my friend Thomas and Mikey, and we're rolling around. And we're going to we go by this big lake, and I knew, you get on the main road, go this way, you'll run into this town called Cañas or Las Cañas or something, and you get there, and you'll end up where you want to go. It's no problem. 3 hours, you're done. Well, we're going, and we get to this beautiful lake, and the main road goes straight, but there's another road that goes left, and the straight one goes across like a dam across the lake, and there's like a tourist bus there. It's beautiful, man. You can look back and see the volcano, and it's awesome. And as we're going across it, Thomas, who you have to understand my friend Thomas, my first rule with Mikey was don't believe anything Thomas says, because he would just make stuff up. We'd see a chicken, he'd say, oh, that's a Costa Rican quail. We'd see, he just make stuff up because thinks it's funny, and it is a lot of times, but we're going across, and then twice already on the trip, he has told me to turn one direction that was totally wrong, and we missed our turn one time. We had to turn around, and so we're both together. We're not good at all, and so he goes, I think we should have turned left right there. I said, no, just stay on the main road. I know where I'm going. Don't worry about it. I've got this, and if you say things with confidence, people believe you. I found this to be the case. If you just say it with confidence, they'll buy it. So I said that with confidence. He said, okay. And so we keep going, which was kind of cool that we did that because then we were able to see these things called Koh-de Mundis. I should have shown you a picture of them, but the Koh-de Mundi are like a cross between a raccoon, a possum, and a lemur. I don't know. They're just cute little fuzzy weird things, and we fed them cookies and hope we didn't get rabies when they bit us, but they came up the side of the road in the car. It was really fun. So then that distracted us even more, and we just kept on driving. We're driving around the lake, driving around the lake, driving around the lake, and eventually, man, it shouldn't take this long to get to Las Cañas. Do we have a map in here anywhere? And he gets the map, and we finally get it out, and we realize that we are going the long way to Las Cañas. And so instead of it taking like 3 hours, we were going, it ended up taking six, and son's riding forever, and I keep thinking, man, that would have been great if I'd have just looked at that back there, and I didn't. And then I get home, and I'm telling my story to my friend David, who owns the Crab Shack, and he's got a BlackBerry, and I have a BlackBerry, because we're both ADD, so we have to have something like that. And so we have our BlackBerries out, and he goes, have you seen this Google Maps thing? Do you guys have Google Maps on your phone? Does anybody have that? And so I get it out, and he goes, you just download it. So I'm driving around, I just hit download, and I get in my car, and you go to Google on your little web browser, and it says download Google Maps to your phone. You download it to your phone, and it tells you exactly where you are anywhere in the world. It's got a map, and it tells you this is where you are. And you can zoom out, and I use it because I got lost over here last week. I used it like 3 times in the South Side or Arlington, because that's like a foreign country to me. And I'm over there trying to figure out how to get to downtown or get back to here. And so I hit that, and it tells me exactly where I am. I zoom out, it'll tell me exactly where I want to go. And then if I look real close, it'll tell me how to get there. If only I'd had that, which I had it. I had it in my pocket. It was sitting in the, it was charging in the car in Costa Rica. And all I had to do was turn it on and do that. It's kind of sad, isn't it? Those GPS things are crazy. I mean, I wish I'd paid attention to it. I wish I'd known that. That's what a GPS will do for you, though. It'll tell you where you are. It'll tell you where you want to go. And it'll tell you how to get there. I think we're in a series called Text Message, and my whole goal for this week and really next week, I think we'll wrap it up. I just want you guys to read your Bible. I want you to read it. I want you to memorize it. I want you to know it for yourself. It'll change your life. It was like a GPS for me back in 1989. See, my mom and dad took me to church when I was a kid, off and on. I didn't know God. They took me to church, and then I got totally out of church. I was an atheist, agnostic for a little while, and I came back into church. And when I got back into church, man, we may just go totally without a computer today. I don't know what the deal is. You know, that might be easier, except we can't sing. It's my bad. It's not your bad. It's the computer. The computer's freaking out. Don't worry about it. But, and I don't know why it is. We'll get it fixed next week. I could just read to you guys, couldn't I? And we could sing. Could y'all sing that Come In Close song at the end again? Just come in close to me. We could do that probably without it. Let's do without it, Sean. It'll be fine. I'll read to everybody. Everybody will get their Bibles out and do it. You can just close the thing and don't even worry about it, man. I'll make it simpler. Or I guess we'll wait. See, if it flashes one more time, we'll do it. Maybe you got to, I don't know. So here we go. So I come back to church, and I start thinking, man, these people seem to be living different than me. I'm going to try. I'm trying. Nothing's working. And so finally what happens is I end up getting into God's Word enough, and I start to see what it really means to be a follower of Christ. I even read a verse. One verse that was particularly convicting to me was in 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. The ladies are studying 1 John on Tuesday mornings. And 1 John 2:19 says, essentially, they went out from us because they were not of us, because if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that they were never part of us, or that they were not of us. In other words, what John was saying was that someone's consistency shows if they're really following Christ. And it doesn't mean you're perfect, but in John, he was writing about people that were involved in the church when it kind of got started, and they went off and did something different. They were actually teaching some false doctrine, and they left. And what he was saying was, it wasn't they had something and lost it. He was saying they were here, but they weren't ever really part of us. And so you could see it as their life went on that something wasn't right on the foundation. And that's what was true with me. I never really knew God. I knew about God, but I didn't know Jesus. And so I just kind of walked away from the whole thing. And then I came back thinking, it'll be okay. And God really just kind of started convicting me even more. And I believe it was July 14th. It was a Saturday night. I stayed up, and God was really working on my heart. And I read the whole book of John. And in John chapter 10, Jesus says, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." And it was like the Holy Spirit just got a hold of my heart and said, you know about who he is, but there's never really been a time in your life where you really followed Jesus. And it was through that, the next morning, that I really surrendered my heart to Christ. And so God used the Bible as a GPS in my life to show me where I was, where I needed to be, and how to get there. And he said, this is what you need to do. You need to trust Christ. So that's what I did. That's what I'm trying to do. And so that's where we are with that. Now, the question is, have you ever used this as a GPS? Because some of you have made decisions. Anyone ever made a decision that you wish you hadn't made? You ever made a decision you regret? You wish that you had a GPS in your life, like God? That, like the GPS, like sometimes you have the ones in your car, and it'll talk to you, and they go, bing, bing, you just missed your exit. Do they do that to you? Except it does in a really nice woman's voice usually. And then I need one that screams at me that goes, hey, idiot, you missed the turn around. And usually I end up turning around and having to go back and I miss it. But it'll alert you, right? It'll go, bing, right turn in 200 yards. Do they do that? Am I close? They do that. That would be awesome. That's what I need. And what we need in life sometimes is, some of you teenagers, this is what you need. You need something in your head that'll go, bing, don't date that guy. He's a loser. You need something like that, don't you? You need something that goes, bing, your parents are right. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? Or who knows, or whatever it would be. Bing, just because it's low interest doesn't mean you should buy it. You know, that something like that. Some kind of decision-making bing that would come off, to go off and we'd say, hey, maybe we shouldn't do this. Well, what the Bible is, what I'm going to argue for this morning, is that the Bible is that bing. It is that thing that God uses to show us where we are, where we need to be, and how to get there. It can change everything. And it's better than a little voice just going, hey, that's a dumb decision. Don't do that. It's actually what God uses. In fact, I don't have it on the screen or anything, but in Ephesians 5, the Bible tells us to be filled with the Spirit. And as a result of being filled with the Spirit, we will speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We'll sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. It says that wives will honor their husbands. Husbands will honor their wives. It says all these things. Children will honor their parents. All those things are a result of being filled with the Spirit. In Colossians, you may write this down, Ephesians 5, then write down Colossians 3. You can check it out when you go home. In Colossians 3, the exact same results are listed. It says, if you do whatever Colossians 3:16 says, then you will sing to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Husbands will honor their wives. Wives will honor their husbands. Children will honor their parents. You'll have all these things going on. You'll be thankful. It's the exact same result. But the difference is in Ephesians 5, it says you should be filled with the Spirit. In Colossians 3, it says you should let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So what the Spirit of God uses in our life, which the Bible teaches the Spirit of God lives in everyone that trusts Jesus, the Spirit of God uses the Bible. It uses the Word in their life. You with me so far? So this is God's GPS for you. It'll show you where you are. It'll show you where you need to be, and it'll show you how to get there. And we're going to do that some this morning. But right now, let's look together at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Because basically what's happened here is Paul has left his number one disciple, Timothy. We believe 2 Timothy is the last letter that Paul has ever written. And he leaves Timothy at a place called Ephesus. It's a town called Ephesus. There's a church there. And within this church, there were people that were teaching things against Timothy, teaching things against the truth, that had come in and taught error, actually. And Timothy's job was to help keep the church on track. And so Paul writes to him. I only put, 14 through 17 in your bulletin, but I want to give you the context. So we're just going to walk kind of quickly through the whole chapter together. Look at verse 1. Understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self. Sounds like today, doesn't it? Lovers of money, even when we don't have enough. Proud, arrogant, abusive. If you looked at the news, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving God, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Not like America, is it? Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. In other words, they look like they're religious people, but there's not really God's power and a real change in their life. Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power, avoid such people, Timothy, he says. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women burdened with sins and led away by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. They would come in and try to persuade people to follow them and to believe error, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses. And Jewish historians and biblical historians believe Jannes and Jambres were two Egyptian magicians, so that when Moses would do his kind of deals in front of Pharaoh, then like Aaron would throw down his rod that budded, they threw down their rods, they did this kind of the same thing. It was this group of guys that came in and tried to copy what God was doing. So these men also opposed the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. Those are harsh words. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all as it was to those two men. Now here's where he turns the corner in verse 10 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. You, however, Timothy, you have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life. In other words, you have followed the content of the gospel, and you've seen me live it out, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. And basically what happens is he gets beaten, he gets stoned, he gets thrown in jail, he gets rejected. So he says, Timothy, you've seen me stand for this truth, which persecutions I endured. Now, today, we'll take a little commercial break. You guys awake? Sam awake? Okay, good, because this is the thing. We'll take a little commercial break. Today, which I only found out this morning because I'm not really savvy on stuff, but today is actually the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And you go to websites like persecution.com, persecution.org, and you see the Voice of the Martyrs, and they'll have all kinds of information on it. But basically, a stat that I read this morning was that last year in the world, 176,000 176,000. Let me say that number again. 176,000. We lost about 3,000 people in the World Trade Center attacks in 2001, right? So last year, so 3,000, compare that to 176,000 Christians who lost their lives because of their faith last year in this world in 2008. We don't think that happens, though, because we live in America. We're meeting in a school, man. It's different here. It is different. This isn't North Korea. This isn't China. This isn't Sudan. This isn't Somalia. It's different. It's not India. It's different. But the majority of the population of the world doesn't live here. And probably the majority of the Christians in the world don't live here, even though the people that claim to be Christians maybe live here. But the people that really follow Christ, all our brothers and sisters, they're enduring tremendous. I watched a video this morning of a group of people that were having a Bible study and meeting. I think it was in China, but it was somewhere. And they were, then the security camera caught it. They were just in the back of this, it was like a house church. They were in the back of this beauty salon. And they were singing. They were sitting on the floor, singing, worshiping, and having a Bible study. And the soldiers come in. I mean, you can look at it online. The soldiers come in, and they get them. They grab the guy's guitar. They arrest them, and they run them out because they weren't allowed. The government said, no, you can't have a Christian church meeting here. And even though you're in here, you can't do this. And so we take it for granted. And so today is the International Day of Prayer for Persecuted Christians. And here's what most of them ask is not that the suffering would end. They do kind of pray and hope the government will change. But what they usually ask is that we just pray that they be found faithful. Because they understand that this world is not all there is. And they're standing for the faith and they love Jesus and they're going to make it. So let's just do that right now. I know it's the middle of the message, but we're going to pray together. Just bow your heads. And I want you to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who are enduring persecution today. This very day. They will lose their jobs. Some will lose their lives. And it's real because the enemy hates the gospel. So just lift them up just silently in your heart right now. Father, we do lift up our brothers and sisters around the world who are enduring persecution. And God, we pray that your gospel would just go forth, Lord. Every place and every time, Lord, that people have tried to stop your word, Lord, it continues to grow. And Lord, I pray that they will stand firm, that they will be encouraged, that you will meet their needs, you will provide for them. And Lord, where does your will, God, I pray that you would release them from prison. God, I pray that you would change the hearts of kings and leaders and rulers. And Lord, let them find favor in the eyes of those that are making decisions. Open doors for them to be able to share your gospel more. But Lord, give them endurance and give them strength and let them be found faithful, Lord. Let us be found faithful. And Lord, I pray that we will endure and that you will just encourage and strengthen them even in this very moment. In Jesus' name, amen. That was a little commercial right there. We want to continue to pray for them as well, and maybe even this week. If you go check it out online, they have prayer suggestions for you all week long. But we'll get back to where we were in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse, where were we, 11? So Paul said, I endured persecution. That's what's going to happen. But yet from them all, the Lord rescued me. And that's kind of funny, too, that Paul gets stoned and thrown in jail and stuff. And then we think that if we follow Jesus, we should just automatically get the raise and everything should go great for us, don't we? But when you look at who follows him, they go through tough times. And so sometimes following Jesus, tough times come. Indeed, he says, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Wow. That doesn't really sell this thing very well, does it? While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But then he says in verse 14, but as for you, and this is where your bulletin picks up, continue in what you have learned, this content that you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it. In other words, this truth that I've told you, you stick to that truth, Timothy, and how from childhood, Timothy, you've been acquainted with the sacred writings. He says, from the time you were a little kid, in the beginning of this book, he talks about his mom and his grandmother and how they taught him the Bible when he was growing up. That's what we want you to do with your kids here. See, if this hour, it's better than nothing, but if this hour is all the spiritual input your kids get, if they hang out with Sean, they hang out over there with our kids, whatever that is, that's the only spiritual input they get, then you're in big trouble. Because really what we're doing, we want to be a positive spiritual influence on your kids' lives, but all we can really do is help you. We just want to help you. Our job is to equip you, because really the greatest spiritual influence in your child's life is you. They're watching you. They see if you read your Bible. They see how you treat other people. They see how you talk to each other. They see how, I mean, you set the example for them, a louder example than really I can almost ever overcome, no matter how much fun they have in there, no matter how great our teachers are in there. So we want to equip you with tools to help you do this, every one of them. Everyone, how many have kids over there? Anybody have a kid over there? Okay, here's what they do. Everyone, they get an envelope like this every week, right? And inside this envelope, here's something we're going to do next week. We're going to work on memorizing scripture, but they have a scripture that goes with their verses, with their lesson every week. And if they memorize this scripture, here's what's cool and fun about over there. If they memorize the scripture, when they come back, they get a ticket. If they bring a friend, they get a ticket. If they bring a Bible, they get a ticket. If they show up wearing not orange and blue, we give them a ticket. I'm just kidding. But they get any, I'm just kidding. There's Gators over there too. They probably give them extra ones for those. But you know why we give them tickets? You know why we give them tickets? Because tickets are free. That's why we give them tickets. Yeah, because they're free. We give them all the tickets they want. And then we have, then they do a drawing, and sometimes we'll give away a slip and slide or a, I don't know what all they give away over there. Candy, you know, because they need more from Halloween. But, you know, maybe they'll give away a car. I don't know. Who knows what they give away? They give away all kinds of stuff, scholarships, college scholarships all the time. So, but all we want to do is we want to motivate them to do this. But they get a ticket for doing this as well. Every week they should take home one of these. And every week when they take home one of these, it's a family devotional lesson. And inside, some really fun stuff. My kids do it, and they love it. And then there's a thing on the back, though, that you read through and you talk with them about over the dinner table and the car on the way to school. But you talk about spiritual things with your kids, because you are the most important spiritual influence in our life, just as Timothy's mom and grandmother were in his life. Does that make sense? So that's why we do that. So get involved in your kids' life spiritually. We're just here to help you, because if you came every Sunday, we'd have maybe 52 hours with them. You get like four times that every week. So you need to, not four times because they go to school and all, but you get twice that every week probably. So you stick with that. I'm just full of commercials this morning. Are y'all okay with those commercials? So we got the persecuted church, pray for them. Be a spiritual influence in your kids' life. We got to get to this text here. Check this out. Check out verse 15. How from childhood you make the scriptures, you've known them from the childhood, but look about these scriptures. You don't know the Bible just so you can get a ticket or just so you can get the right answer on the test, but it's been able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. What he says, Timothy only has the Old Testament at this point. He's got some letters Paul's written to him, but he's got this. He says, the scriptures that you have are what point you to Jesus. It's supposed to get you to Jesus. If your knowledge of scripture just puffs you up and makes you feel smarter and better than other people, then you're missing the point of scripture. It's supposed to get you to Jesus. It shows you your need for Jesus. It's not so you can win an argument. It's not so you can be right. It's so you can be right with God, ultimately, and help other people be right with God. And so that's what the point of this book is. And he says all this points to him. And then he gets to verse 16, which is really a key verse for us, because he says all scripture, and we talked about what that was last week, all scripture, which is the 66 books of this Bible, the 66 books, this is what's inspired by God. I know of no other book equivalent to this book that's as powerful as this book that really has been found as true as this book. There are other books out there that people say are from God. There are other books out there that they do, but they have not been proven to be so. Here's what you have with this book that makes it unique from all those other books. Do you remember last week? How many authors are involved in this book? I mean, ultimately there's one, and it's God. But it's 40 different authors, right? 40 different authors over a period of 1,500 years. 40 authors, 1,500 years, they all say the same things. They all agree. It all points to Jesus. Is that amazing? That's a great miracle right there. It's not like we're just trusting some guy that said, I don't even know, I think like Islam has one book and it's like supposedly given to one guy at one time and then we just trust it. We're going to trust that this guy, which if you study his character, he's a little bit shady. We're going to trust that this is God's word. I would much rather take it from Moses, from Paul, from Nehemiah, from all these people who God inspired. When he says that, it says he worked through them. He actually breathed it out. He had them write exactly what he wanted them to write. And he says all the scripture is inspired or breathed out by God. So therefore, we can trust it and it's true. You with me? Say you're with me. You with me so far? So now here's where it gets good. Because he says it's profitable for teaching. He's saying it's a GPA. It'll teach, it'll show you what you need to believe. And it's profitable for reproof. And reproof is what you do when your kid leaves their shoes on the floor. Hey, don't leave your shoes on the floor. I don't know if you do that. Well, actually, shoes should be on the floor. When they leave them right in the walkway, because shoes go on the floor. But when they leave them and you trip over them in the middle of the night, hey, don't leave your shoes in the middle. Your shoes do not go there. Your skateboard does not go behind the car, just for the record. That's reproof. Hey, don't leave your skateboard behind the car. That's reproof. But it's also good for correction. Correction is, hey, you need to keep your skateboard in the garage. That's correction. And then it's good, it says, for instruction and righteousness. Here's what you need to remember. You need to remember to take your skateboard. Let me show you. Here's the place that it goes in the garage. We'll make a place to hang up. Here's how you do that. What Scripture will do for you, it will show you. If you read your Bible, you will read your Bible sometimes and go, wow, I'm in a relationship that I should not be in. What should I do? And you read it some more, and it says, well, this is the kind of relationship I need to be in. Maybe this is the kind of man I need to be in my marriage. Maybe this is the kind of woman I need to be in my marriage. Okay, so here's what I need to do. Okay, then I need to do this. And then as you read on, it says, not only does it say this is where you are and where you need to be, but it will show you how to get there, how to have a thankful heart. God has actually spoken to you through this book, and he will show you how to live. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. For reproof is where you are. Correction is where you need to be. Training in righteousness is teaching you how to get there, how to live that life, that the man of God may be competent. And that applies to man of God, woman of God. It applies to all of us, may be competent and equipped, verse 17, for every good work. This is an amazing thing. Do you believe God has a good work for you? Do you think God has a work out there for you next week, next year, maybe in 10 years? Do you believe that? Anybody think that maybe? I got two heads nodding. I tell you what, I believe that. You should believe that about you. You should believe that about you because I believe that about you. Do you know that God has a reason for you existing? That you're not just here? You know, I mean, think about this for a minute. What are the odds? I mean, 20 years ago, if you'd have asked me, would I be getting up and hanging out at a restaurant at 8:30 in the morning to tell people about Jesus? Would I be coming and meeting in a school at 11 o'clock on a Sunday, about to eat some really good food, but that my part I might have believed. But to study the Bible and worship Jesus, I would have thought there's no way. See, I don't think God brought you here because you could have stayed home today. You could have gone fishing. You could have gone to the beach. There were all these other things. I think God brought you here because he has a work for you to do. I think he's got more for your life than just for you to survive. I think he's got more in store for you than that. And what Paul tells Timothy is, Timothy, God's got a work for you. And this word is what God will use to prepare you, to make you competent, to equip you to do that work. See, there are people out there that you haven't even met yet that God's going to use you to help. And in order to be ready to help them, you've got to have a good relationship with God. You need to know the Bible for yourself. Don't just take my word for it. You need to read it for yourself. You need to know it for yourself. The Bible will equip you. It will help you avoid. You guys have made bad decisions before? You ever made a bad one? I've made a bad one. And if I had been listening to my Bible, I almost promise you, I would not have made that decision. I would have made the right decision. I would have done what was right. And this will help you make the right decision so that in the future, you are better able and equipped for the work that God has for you. It's kind of like an idiot light. You guys ever seen an idiot light? I need an idiot light that goes bing, you know, the thing that goes bing. But in your car, they used to have like the oil pressure gauge. Remember the oil pressure gauge? I had a 65 Mustang. It was so cool. It had an oil pressure gauge. It would tell you what the pressure was. Now cars don't have those. They just have, I don't know, I think that's what like a mechanic calls. I don't know if that's right. Is that a bad, is it an idiot light? I hope idiot's not an offensive word to you, but it's what it is. It comes on and goes, boo. Really, the biggest idiot light is the gas light on your car. Do you have the light that comes on when it tells you it's time for gas and it comes on, you're almost out of gas, boom. It almost goes, idiot, you should have gotten gas. And so it comes on and then my car's worse because it'll tell me how many miles I have to go until I run out of gas. Does yours do that? And so I want to see how close, I'm like Kramer on that one where they got the new car. I want to see how far we can go until we run out of gas. And so we're hanging in there. And so I have 20 miles left, 10 miles left. I know it's got to be like 3 miles to Buddy Boys from my house or less. So I'm okay until it gets down to almost nothing. But that light comes on and it goes, hey, there's something wrong here. Like the check engine light comes on sometimes and you just put a piece of electrical tape over that and everything's fine. But the check engine light will come on. Your gas light will come on. You see all that and you go, okay, either you do something about it or you ignore it. And if you ignore it, there are consequences. What I'm saying to you this morning is that this is like that light. And the problem is some of you have just put electrical. You've just said, you know what? Yeah, that's true. I know what I'm supposed to do. I've heard something that maybe God has a plan for my life, but I'm not really going to listen to him. I've got Sports Center to watch. I've got all my friends around me who really are going to stab me in the back the first chance they get if I do something they think is stupid. Or I've got this job that's more important than God's word to me that'll lay me off as soon as the economy gets really bad. Or I've got all this other stuff that's more important than God's word. And we take that and we just kind of put the light over there and say, you know what, I'm just going to focus on this. And then we end up running out of gas when our engine blows up or our life falls apart. And the whole time, it's like we had our BlackBerry in our pocket with a GPS, and we could have said, oh, there's where I am, and that's where I need to go. God's word is here for you, and all you have to do is look and say, this is where I am. This is where I need to go. God actually loves and cares about me. The psalmist wrote about this in Psalm 119. Look at this with me. Psalm 119. You ever struggle with sin? When we're in church, you can be honest. You guys ever struggle with sin? Anybody? Just me? Yeah, we all do, don't we? Look at this. The Bible is an idiot light for sin. It really is. Look at this. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Well, I don't even like the way that sounds. I need to come up. It's a warning light. I want to say warning light for sin. Psalm 119. You can pick any one of them. We'll pick up in verse 9. How can a teenager? How can someone in college? How can really a young man in Timothy's day was anyone under 30? So that's still not me. But anyway, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. He said, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Now look at verse 11. I have stored up your word in my heart. So basically, I'm going to memorize your word. I'm going to store it up in my heart, God. I'm going to store your word up in order that I might not sin against you. So this will keep you from sin. This will help you not, this will help you avoid that. Y'all with me? You believe that? Do you really? Do you read it? I hope so. We need to read it. We need to spend time reading it together. You know what? And let's do that right now. Let's do that. We've had a couple commercials. Oh, man. Okay, we had a couple of commercials here. We're good to go. We got lunch afterwards. We're fine. Do this. I want you to do this. Here's the thing. I believe that God's word will actually speak to your heart. I believe God wants to speak to you not when you go home. I mean, I think he does when you go home, but I don't think he wants to wait until then. I think God wants to speak to you right now. How many of you came here this morning to hear from God? Did you come here to hear from God? Hey, let's do that right now. If you have a Bible, I want you to open it to the book of James. Open the Bible to the book of James. James is an intensely practical book. I was going to give you homework, but I want you to just do this now. If you don't have a Bible, in your bulletin, there is a copy of the book of James. If you don't have a bulletin, there's a bunch of them over there, man. We're laid back. Just get up and grab you one. You're going to need one. Get one in it. On the front, there's James chapter 1. On the back, there's James chapter 2. So get a couple of them. Ro will get some, and he'll bring you one if you need one. Just raise your hand and wave at him if you need one. You don't want to get up. And get a pen. You need a pen and one of these. And here's what we're going to do together. We're going to pray in a moment. And then we're going to read through this. As you read through this, as something jumps out at you, something you'll bump into something, and maybe it'll be, man, this is where I am, or this is where I need to be, or this is how I need to get to where I want to be. But whatever it is, you can underline that. And you can underline that in your Bible. It's okay to write in your Bible. But I want you to underline this and really interact with God's word this morning and just see if God doesn't speak to your heart and use his word as a GPS in your life. Everybody with me? You understand what we're doing? Anybody need more explanation? You don't have to. I won't point you out. Just shake your head. Just do something. Let me know if you need more. You know what we're doing? You got it? You don't? You do. You do. Okay. All right, here it is. So you got your Bible. You have a copy of the scripture of James chapter 1. Let's pray together. Let's bow our heads. And I want you to do this. I want you to say, God, just ask God to speak to your heart right now through his word. You just tell him, say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I want you to speak to my heart through your word. Right now, Will's going to come. He's going to play while we read, and then after, and then when we wrap it up, the whole band will come up after that. So, but go ahead and pray. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word. Please speak to our hearts right now in this very moment, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. So together now, let's just read through James, and you just look down, and we're just all going to be quiet. Will's going to just play something soft on the guitar, and we're going to take a couple of minutes. And I want you to read until you get to something where you feel like God is actually speaking to you that maybe it'll help you avoid sin. Maybe it's a sin you need to repent of. But let's just take a minute and do this together. James is right after Hebrews in your Bible. It's on page 1011 in mine. Thank you. get anything yet? Anything jump out at you? Something jumped out at you. You can look up here. You can keep on playing. Well, we'll have him keep on playing, and we'll talk with some music in the background. We may pull him down a little bit, but I like that. Who got something? Somebody just share. What verse jumped out at you? Somebody. Don't be like a wave. Yeah. Yeah. He even talks about being tossed about like a wave in the sea. It's like, oh, I'm in, I'm out. I'm in, I'm out. Yeah, that's good. What'd you have? 19 and 20. What did they say here? 19. Know this. Let every person be quick to hear. Quick to hear. We're quick to speak, though, aren't we? Quick to hear, slow to speak. I get this reversed a lot. Slow to anger. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Possible that could be God's word to you this morning. Somebody else, what'd you get? Just call it the verse and we'll look at it together. Anybody? Which one? 22. That's a great one to wrap up on. Because that's kind of key there, isn't it? Be doers of the word and not hearers only. If you hear the word and you don't do it, you're just deceiving yourself. Millions of people are going to do that today. They're going to hear the word and leave church and live like they always live like everything's just the same. They're not going to live it out. They're going to be just hearers, not doers. I don't want you to do that. That's kind of the key. We need to do that. May I have another one? Anybody else? I liked it this morning. Mikey jumped right on to verse 2. Count it all joy. Because he's been in the car with me, so he has to do that. You have to count it all joy when you fall into various trials, because, you know, God's ultimately in control. And there's so much there. There's on the back of this is chapter 2. And so take this, put it in your car with you when you get stuck in traffic, or you're sitting there waiting on the train. Just pull it out and read. Count it all joy. That'll affect how you talk to the person in the car in front of you that can't hear you anyway, won't it? That'll affect everything, won't it? It'll change things. Hey, what if we did what it said, and instead of just being hearers, we did what it said, and the main thing it says to do is to trust Jesus. Some of you need, hey, listen, some of you need to do that. I mean, really, you don't just need to know about Jesus, but you need to know Jesus. You need to give him your heart, because he loves you. He's got a plan for you. You don't have to just go with what everybody else says. You can actually do what God wants you to do. You can actually follow Jesus. You need to turn from your sin and place your faith in him and give your heart to him, and I want you to do that today, and it's through this word that'll help you do that. Hey, this week, let's do some homework together. Monday, let's read James 1 together. Tuesday, let's read James 2 together. Wednesday, let's read James 3 together. Thursday, we'll read James 4. Friday, we'll read James 5. Saturday and Sunday, you can have off. You read whatever you want. Go back and reread it. I think it'll make a difference if we get in the habit of reading this book. Do you think it will? Will you do that with me this week? Hey, let's pray. Then we're going to sing this song as a prayer to God. God, thank you for your word. I pray that you would speak to hearts this week, God, that even just as just now, Lord, that's just amazing that you, the creator of the universe, would speak to us and remind us that we need to be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to anger, that you would remind us that we need to actually apply your word, that you would remind us to count it all joy, even when physically things go bad, when financially things go bad, that we can count it all joy because those things are being used in our life to make us into the people you want us to be. Lord, remind everyone here that you have a work for them to do. And Lord, give them a hunger for your word. Let us be people that know your word, that through actually reading it, that it will show us where we want to go, where we need to go, so that we will even avoid maybe some of the detours that life wants us to go on. I pray for those here this morning that don't know you, God, that they would even surrender their hearts to you in this moment. And if they do that, I pray they would come see me. And ultimately, God, I pray that this song that we're singing, Lord, we know you're here with us already. And but Lord, I do pray that in our lives, every time we read your word, that it would be as though you were coming even closer to us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Stand up and sing this.